how do you know if you're going to be ready? I knew I'd be ready to go on holiday earlier this month because I hadn't seen that big yellow ball in the sky for a while. But how about bigger things? How do you know if you're going to be ready to be a husband or a wife? How do you know if you're going to be ready to be a parent? How do you know if you're going to be ready for Jesus to return? Well, that's what this passage is about tonight. It's going to give us great confidence that because of our faithful God, we will be ready when Jesus returns. So I'm going to pray and ask you to open your Bibles in a minute, but just wanted to introduce myself fully first of all. I'm Sam. I've been part of this congregation here at HCG for about 4 years since I moved up to the northeast. I've been a Christian since I was 7, and I love it here in Newcastle and Gateshead. Well, let's pray. Father God, I pray that these words tonight would be from you. I pray that we would all listen to your Holy Spirit. I pray that we would be encouraged, challenged, and brought closer to you. Amen. Great. Well, please open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12. That's on page 836 of the Blue Bibles on your seats. That's 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12. And the big idea of this passage is our faithful God is making us ready for Jesus' return. Someone once said, let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. Indeed, it is a very good place, but it's not always the best place. And tonight, I'm going to start near the end of the passage, because if we grasp what that part is saying, I think the rest will flow from that. So please look down to verses 23 and 24 of this passage, which is actually on 837 of the Blue Bibles. So I'm going to start reading from verse 23 and to 24. And that says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So the big idea is our faithful God is making us ready for Jesus' return. And the first point from this section is that it's God who will make us ready, or sanctify, not us. Did you see that word there in verse 23, sanctify? What does that mean? Well, it's the process by which we become more Christ-like. It comes between salvation, becoming a Christian, and going to be with the Lord. It's lifelong, and it comes from the Holy Spirit. It means becoming more holy. What a privilege it is to be sanctified by God, the creator of the universe. It's him, not anyone else. He's doing it. And yes, that means high standards, but it also means that when Jesus comes again and we go to live with God forever, the job will be perfect. It's a bit like in a factory. Think about the big Nissan factory in Sunderland. It's the European home of Nissan, the Japanese car manufacturer. You're there, and suddenly there's a quiet, a hush. Everyone's looking very smart, and you look around. And in comes Carlos Ghosn. Now you, being a bit of a Nissan fan, know exactly who this is. Mr. Ghosn is the chairman and CEO of Nissan, the top man, the boss. He's here, he's in the factory, and he's looking over the cars. He kindly but firmly speaks to the workers, pointing out imperfections here and there with the cars, things he wants ironed out. Because he wants each Nissan car to be just right. He knows what is just right. He's signed off the design, and he knows what he wants to see. He wants the best because it's ultimately his name that's at stake. Now that's just a tiny example of what this passage means. In our lives, God knows what's best, He made us. He won't retire or quit like Mr. Gosen will one day. God is perfect. He knows exactly what's best for us. And being sanctified, made more holy by him, should be a joy and a delight. So it's God who will sanctify us and not us. We also see in this section how our faithful God is making us ready for Jesus' return in every way. Did you see that? It said, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless. He will do it. Now, through and through means wholly, totally, fully. And spirit, soul and body means every part of us. Our feelings, our thoughts, our emotions, our decisions, everything. Do we see that in our lives? Well, let's repent, let's turn around from those areas where we're not following what God wants us to do. Let's ask for help. Let's talk to Christian friends. Let's pray. And look to God to shape us in every area of our life. So Paul is praying that God would work through us completely in every part of our life. And finally, from this section, we see that God is faithful and he will do it. Verse 24 says exactly that. The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. What an encouragement that is. Listen to the certainty of it. God is faithful and he will do it. We can cling on to the fact that God, this God of peace, as we see mentioned in verse 23, will do it. When we're in difficult circumstances, when we feel upset, frustrated, disappointed, hurt, we should look to God and remember he will do it. He does not let us down. We can be confident in him. So there in verses 23 and 24, we've seen how it's God who will sanctify us and not us. We've seen how God is making us ready in every way. And we've seen that God is faithful and he will do it. Well, now we've seen that, let's go back to the beginning. Julie Andrews is a very good place to start. And the beginning of this passage, which is verse 12. And here we see our faithful God is making us ready for Jesus' return through those who are over us in the Lord. Let's see that there in verse 12 and 13, back on 836. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Well, I think those who are over you in the Lord means the people who are bringing God's word to us. So for us at HTG, that's the staff team, those who are teaching us in home groups and small groups like Women's Fellowship and Children's Work. Paul is pointing out that these people are doing important work. They're admonishing us, which means they're reminding and cautioning us, and they're working hard. We see that here at HCG as well, don't we? Those who are bringing God's word to us work hard. So let's be thankful for all those people who do that here. But we, the congregation, also have a role here as well. Paul is calling on us to respect those who are over us and to hold them in the highest regard in love. Verse 13. Well, how can we do that? For a start, we need to respect them for the position God has given them. But also, in order to hold these people in the highest regard and love, means we actually have to get to know and love these people. It can be a very hard job to be a leader at church, teaching God's word and serving people, and at times it can be extremely lonely. So we need to be getting alongside these people in fellowship. Invite them over for a meal. Ask how their children are doing. Have some cricket banter with them. all in an effort to hold these people in the highest regard in love. Well, later on in this passage, in verse 25, Paul asks the Thessalonians to pray for him and his team. So that's something we need to be doing as well. And at HCG, we're about to have two new couples come to serve and be over us in the Lord, Dim and Gales and Tom and Kat. So there are two new opportunities to put these verses into practice. So, here in these verses, we've seen that the people who are over us in the Lord are part of making us ready for Jesus. And we've seen that we have a role in respecting, loving, and praying for them too. Now, I just want to say a word about ungodly teachers, because there'll be times when we've been hurt by bad teachers who are not teaching the Word of God. Later in this passage, it talks of testing everything and holding on to the good. So let's be doing that, humbly and prayerfully. Let's pray for those teachers and for us, that teachers of the word would preach Jesus and not themselves. Well, let's move on now to look at the next part of this passage from verse 14 to 22. And I'll just read that now. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Well, there's a lot in each of these verses, and they're just really packed with short, punchy instructions. Depending on your generation, it's a bit like a telegram, a text, or a tweet. And I'm going to go through them at quite a pace with some practical ways that we can put them into action. But I'd also encourage you to go home tonight and ponder them yourself too, and how to apply them to your personal situation. I think we could summarise these verses like this. Our faithful God is making us ready for Jesus' return through each other. Let's start by looking at verse 14. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Well, here, idle could mean those who are playing truant from work, or could mean being disorderly or unruly. They should be warned to turn away from their wrongdoing, come back to doing what's right. We're also told to encourage the timid, those who are downcast, sorrowful, sad. What might that mean? Well, a kind word, perhaps, a generous offer of help. Let's be doing that. Let's be encouragers. Then it says, help the weak, those who are in difficulty, perhaps spiritually or physically. Help them, support them, lift them up. Perhaps there's a broader context as well now in this culture and society in resisting moves for euthanasia and assisted suicide. Those people who are so weak physically. Let's be helping those people, not brushing them aside or ignoring them, but loving them and caring for them. Then it says, be patient with everyone. That doesn't really leave anyone out, does it? Patient with the ones who annoy us, who frustrate us, who get on our nerves. And linked to that, verse 15, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. It sounds so simple, childlike. But when was the last time we were wronged and chose not to give it back? On the road, at work, at church maybe. Well, let's go to the Lord for help when we face these difficulties. Let's remember that he is faithful and will help us not to pay back wrong for wrong. Well, let's continue to look at how these verses fit into this big idea of our faithful God making us ready for Jesus' return. And let's look at verses 16, 17 and 18 together. It says, be joyful always, pray continually, Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Be joyful always? That sounds hard, doesn't it? Well, I think in order to get to grips with this, it's necessary to look at what joy really is. Because it's not the same as happiness. Happiness is fleeting. They've got chocolate on offer at the supermarket. I'm going to have a barbecue after work today. Sorry, Rod. My country won the Ashes match. You know, that's happiness. For some, anyway. Those things are great, but they don't last. Joy is different. It's deep, settled, sure. If we're trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord over our lives, as our King, if we've turned away from our sin and know that Jesus has rescued us from its penalty, then we can be joyful, really joyful. Our time here on earth is not permanent. The heartache, the pain, the sadness that we sometimes feel will not be forever. We are going to be with Jesus after we die, and if we are trusting in him. And with Jesus, all sadness, all pain, all fear will be gone. We will be there forever and ever and ever. And that is where our deepest joy is found. And if we hold on to it, we can be joyful always. Well, verse 17 says, pray continually. I don't know about you, but I certainly need to pray more than I do now if I'm going to remember the joy of heaven that's on its way. So let's be doing that. I don't think it means pray all like without doing anything else, but rather let's pray as we do other things, around the house, in the office, as we travel, continually. And then verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's another hard verse, isn't it? All circumstances covers the bad ones and the good ones. And that's hard, and there isn't a simple answer. On one level, we can give thanks for all the material blessings that we've received, food, clothing, homes. But most of all, we can give thanks for Jesus. Let's be giving thanks to him and for him, even in hard situations. Give thanks that he came to earth, that he died on the cross in our place, and that he rose from the dead and returned to heaven, where he is reigning now with God. Let's be thankful for that in all circumstances. So we're seeing how we're each part of God's plan to get us ready for Jesus' return. And hopefully you're seeing ways that you can be part of that as well. Well, the passage continues with verses 19 to 22. And that says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Well, here are some more clear instructions from Paul to the people in this church at Thessalonica. Let's look at how they can apply to us here in Gateshead. Firstly, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Now, I don't think it means that it's possible to put it out completely. God's work through the Holy Spirit will continue until it's complete. But it could mean for individuals or in particular circumstances. Here are a couple of examples. Imagine someone's been coming to HCG for a couple of months. They're in a home group and they're really keen to start serving. They say to you, I love making people feel at home in my house, and I make a really good cup of tea. Could you come with me and sign up for a couple of weeks to serve tea and coffee from the hatch? What do you say? Yeah, sure, great idea. I'm not very good at making tea and coffee, but maybe you could show me how. Or maybe, to give another example, you're a Sunday school leader or a holiday club leader. One child is the keenest in the group. They have their hand up all the time. They remember the memory verse. They sing really loudly and enthusiastically. They just love being there. How do you respond to them? Do you just wish they'd be a bit more somber? A bit less excited? Or do you encourage them? Build them up? Nurture them? You see, these are examples of the Holy Spirit working. The fire in their heart to learn more and serve. Let's not squash that. Let's not dampen it. But let's fan those flames. Let's give more fuel to encourage those people. Well, next it says, don't treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. So when you hear something which is apparently from God, whether that's in a sermon or a prayer or someone speaking directly to you, don't treat it with contempt. That means don't despise it, consider it to be vile, worthless. Rather, test it. Check out the Bible to see if what you've heard is in there. Pray. Talk to wise Christian friends. And if what the person has said doesn't line up with what's in the Bible, then it's not from God. And if it's not from God, then drop it. But if it is in the Bible, then hold on to it. Hold on to the good. Verse 22 as well says, avoid every kind of evil. This could also be put, don't engage in any appearance of evil. The verse is saying, don't get close to it. Don't play around with it. Don't go near it. Well, over these 9 verses, we've heard loads of practical wisdom. Practical ways in which we can all help each other to be part of God's work to make us more ready for Jesus' return. Now, Paul begins this section by urging us to do it. So let's take these things seriously and act them out. And while we're doing these things, let's remember that it's God who will ultimately be doing the sanctifying. It's through him that we will be able to help others. There'll be some time as well at the end to pray about these things too. So our faithful God is making us ready for Jesus' return through each other. Let's carry on with the passage. We've already looked at verses 23 and 24. So the last point I want to bring from this passage is our faithful God is making us ready for Jesus' return through his word. Let's read these final verses from verse 25. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Well, did you see verse 27? Paul said, I charge you before the Lord. This is strong stuff. It could be that he actually took the pen himself and wrote that line rather than dictating it. Whether or not that's the case, these words should make us sit up and listen. So what is it that Paul wants his readers to hear? Well, he wants the words that he's written to be read to everyone in the church. The brothers here means the congregation. Paul doesn't want just the leaders to hear what he's written to them. He wants everyone to hear. These words in this book that we now call 1 Thessalonians are the words of God. They're so important. They have the power to change our life. And if we listen to them, we will be more ready for Jesus' return. So we see that the word of God is important in making us ready for that. What else can we see from these closing verses? Well, verse 25 is what we touched on before, praying for those who are over us in the Lord. But what about verse 26? It's the K word. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. Well, what does that mean? Kissing in public is not a very British thing, is it? Although, sometimes we actually love it. Think about those words at a wedding. You may now kiss the bride. How joyful we are at that moment. Maybe it's because we know that kissing is a wonderful display of affection. And it's that underlying affection that I want to talk about and think about for a moment in our context as a church. I'm not saying we should start kissing each other as a greeting, but Matt Lillicrap put it really well a couple of weeks ago. He said, how many times do we greet each other with a weak smile, a half-hearted handshake, while looking straight through each other at the cakes? Well, how about instead greeting each other with warmth, with care, with an encouraging word, and then eat some cake together? Well, the chapter and the book ends with a form of goodbye that's common in other letters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. How much do we need this grace? We need it to do all these things in this passage as we get ready for Jesus' return. So, to conclude, there's a lot in this passage. Here's a brief recap. Our faithful God is making us ready for Jesus' return. It's God who will make us ready, not us. He will do it totally and completely. He will do it through those who are over us in the Lord, through each other, and through his word. So let's pray and respect those who are teaching us. Let's look for ways to encourage, help, and be patient. Let's look to what God has done through Jesus in order to be joyful at all times. Let's not put out the Spirit's fire. Let's test those things that we hear from people when they say things are from God. And let's hold on to the ones that line up with the Bible. And remember that it's God who is faithful. Let's trust him in that. Trust him as the Lord and Master. Trust him in the good times and the bad. He is faithful and he will do it. Well, let's just be quiet for a moment and reflect on those things in our hearts. Do pray for yourself as you consider how to put these things into action. And then after a few moments, I'll pray. Father God, thank you that you are making us more holy. We pray that we would help each other to be more holy. We pray that we would trust you in good times and bad times. And we remember and praise you that you are faithful and you will do it. Amen.